Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio, past, present, and future, also including all other talk radio programs that will ever or have ever existed. I'm Kara Kittrick, and I'm joined today by Chauncey Haworth, who is the host of this program and the creator of Radio Wasteland, here to talk about Christmas, blackface, and a short story he wrote called Black Pete, as well as all manner of Scandinavian Christmas legends. Chauncey, what are we talking about here?
Well, thanks for having me on, Kara.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other guest canceled at the last minute, so we thought, you know, let's bring in the guy who runs the program.
Who do we got around here we can huck a stick at?
Yeah, let's get Chauncey. Hopefully our listeners will forgive us.
Well, I'm basically, I think there's a big crossover between horror movie fans and paranormal. That's how I got into paranormal. Was I'm first and foremost a horror fan. And
you're a horror movie fan.
Yes. And you know, Christmas has always been my second favorite holiday because it's so dark and creepy. There's
behind
so much
Halloween.
Dark and creepy history to it. And I don't think most people know that. More people know that today than used to, but a lot of that has been stemmed from this kind of like paranormal thing, but I don't think people realize the dark and creepy history that's like also beyond the evil characters or the followers of Saint Nicholas and stuff like that. You know, like ghost stories were always a part of it, and trick or treating was a part of it. You know, there was a lot to Christmas that's dark, and I like dark stuff.
Yeah. Well, so the story itself is basically, let me see if I have this right, the story of a child living in a very old-fashioned town that has its own idiosyncratic sort of Christmas legends, and their parents warn them about Black Pete might, you know, come to get them if they don't sort of shape up with their Christmas behavior. And in the end, this monstrous black-skinned being with, like, sharp teeth does, in fact, come and get him. He narrowly escapes the demon that Santa sends to punish bad kids. Is that about the size of it?
Yeah. It's pretty much Santa and a bunch of demons. Because one of the, like, there are a lot of different you know, these are isolated towns and, you know, it's cold
here,
so they're doubly isolated, you know.
Once you don't go trekking around, you know, I'm going to see what the town up there does for Christmas.
Right,
no,
right.
You're staying put and you're not opening the door.
Yeah, if you're visiting, you live there now.
Yeah.
And one of these is that Santa enslaved demons and uses the demons that he's enslaved to help him bring all the joy to the world as their kind of penance or what. And so that was the part where they're all these, you know, demons. So they all kind of have a similar look because they are all demons. But that's where I pulled that from. And I thought that was a really cool sort of way of putting it. Because over the years, as I heard of Krampus and stuff like that, I'm all, why is Santa such a nice guy? Why is he hanging out with this guy? He's obviously a jerk, you know,
right.
So it's like.
He's got horns.
Right. So I felt the enslaved thing really sort of.
Yeah, that's some deep Christmas folklore. Now so we're talking about Scandinavian legends here, right?
For the most part.
This idea of Santa enslaving demons, when and where does that come from?
Most of these come from Germany and Austria.
Okay. So it's not even Scandinavian. It's like.
Right. But some of them span out, you know, and I can't pretend to be,
Northwestern.
You know, an expert on it. I basically, there was a reason behind doing this. And so let me explain why I don't.
Okay.
There was a reason behind doing this. I decided I wanted to write this story because I loved all these things. And in looking at it, every time I'd look at it, a very common character was Black Pete. And every time I came to Black Pete, I'm just all, man, this guy's a little shady. I'm not sure I want to have anything to do with this story.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason being that Black Pete traditionally in these towns is played by a person in blackface.
Oh.
Right. And mm-hmm. so I would look at these and it was all just so cool, so cool. I'm just, oh man, this is like imagination heaven. And then there's always the guy there going, hey, I'm in blackface. And I'm just all like, oh, I don't know about all this.
You know? Right. So you're loving the sort of weird, wacky, occult Christmas horror. And then bam, you're hit with a dose of blackface.
Right. Yeah. Like, who wants to be the blackface guy? Nobody does.
Right.
Nobody
yeah.
does.
What's so you decided to write a short story.
Okay, there's a reason. you know, as you read more into the character of Black Pete, it was like in the 18th century or 1800s that he was first portrayed as a black Moor.
Mm.
Prior to that, he was never portrayed as anything other than like a black-skinned, like demon servant of St. Nicholas. And so from like the 1850s on, he's been portrayed as somebody as a black person by white people in blackface. But his history goes back a little further.
I was actually wondering if that was probably the case, because I happen to know in a lot of like older Scandinavian legends of like the Draugr, which are these undead who live in like basically burial mounds and attack anyone who comes in and like attack nearby villages, are thought to have blue or black skin.
Mm.
And this is a much older legend than, like, the slave trade. This is, like, a legend from, you know, the 1100s or something.
Right.
So I wondered if it was maybe that. But it sounds like what you're saying is, like, these were sort of Norse folklores of just a black-skinned monster that later became racialized because people were like, hey, black skin, we're horrible. We can run with that.
You know, because, I mean, they live in, you know, isolated mountain towns of white folk. And probably when they found out that black folk existed, you know, there was probably some tie in their folklore for. And, you know, that's easy to say that like your average Joe who's working at the grocery store or whatever goes like, oh, black people exist. Well, this must be, that's probably not how it really happened. How it really happened was, it was a specific writer rewrote the tale with illustrations of him as a black Moor. And so now that gets around and that changes everything. So I look at it and I go, man, I just hate this. Every time I see this, it ruins my imagination train. So, I was glad because basically for like the last 10 years, I do this. I read into it every Christmas because I love it so much. And this time I finally read deep enough, into Black Pete where there was history beyond that. And, I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm not going to let people being stupid ruin this for me. And I'm going to attack this head on and I'm going to rewrite this. Other people rewrote this tale into something that I don't like. So I'm going to rewrite this tale into something I do like.
He is not an Arab. He is a frostbite skinned demon, and I demand that he be treated as such.
Yeah. And although I like that take, I didn't realize that take the frostbite.
Yeah, well, that's where it came from. Is these, you know, really cold bodies that would end up looking sort of blue or purplish or even kind of black in death is why Draugr were portrayed as being black. And To be fair, like, the Vikings knew black people exist. Like, the Vikings had extensive...
Yeah, they had boats. Contact. They weren't in the Alpine Mountains.
Right, yeah. They had extensive contact with people in Africa, the Middle East, whatever. There were even, like, black Vikings. But this is ideas of race, like, the ideas of, like, black and white is kind of developed later. This was just, spooky frostbitten corpse.
Right.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
You know, so as I did that, this is a little off topic here, but this is, you know, I'm curious about people's thought about this. For one, I was like a little nervous.
Sure.
You know, to write this because, you know, I don't want people thinking like I'm okay with mocking, you know, other people or something. Like, I mean, I mock my family, but that's about it.
You know? It sounds like you kind of wrote this for you.
I did. Definitely wrote it for me, but it did get me to thinking about the character Black Pete. And so in a lot of these towns, apparently, there's a big pushback trying to get rid of this character.
Right.
But there's whole holidays of this character coming through the streets and throwing candy to the kids, and they all love it and everything. And I was thinking, like, now, this is a totally potentially shady thing to say, so correct me if I'm overstepping, but I think it sucks that all that fun would be taken away because people were jerks. So
yeah.
It's like, I like the idea of it was rewritten to become something terrible. So rewrite it to become something not, you know,
I'm kind of two minds, but like, I agree. I think it's sad if like, this is a legend that goes back, you know, much longer than like colonialism and European slavery and stuff. I think it would be sad if we couldn't find some way to like, I don't know, make it not just a racial caricature. But I don't know.
Totally.
I can also rewrite
it into a deer monster if you want.
Yeah.
Rewrite it into a giant ladybug or a.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Whatever. You know. I don't care. That all the kids care about is that some character is going to come running through the streets throwing them candy. That's right. The part that you don't want to ruin.
No.
You know, that's really the part that I'm moving on to. Now, the other one was done just for me. Black Pete is done just for me because I want demons. I like demons. What am I going to do? Yeah. You know, but as far as like the celebrations demons in these places, they're trying to cancel it and put an end to it. And, no. I would like to see them claim it and, get a different character in there and keep hucking candy at kids, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to cancel it just because, you know, the taste that's going to leave in people's mouth is, oh, we can't have our holiday anymore because of political correctness gone amok. And it's like, no, that's right. Not really what's going on. I think there's a way to do this that's more deft, but who knows? And neither of us are, you know, German. I'm pretty ignorant about all of this, so, you know, maybe there's more to it than that. But that's kind of my take with what little I know.
Oh no, absolutely, absolutely. But you know, all of the world was created by somebody's idea. You know, if you're a believer in God, God did not decree that every corner must have a stop and sip. You know, basically, society was created by humans. A lot of this crappy stuff. If you don't like it, you can just change it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, make it something better. You know, it was created that way by some jerk. Now you can come in and be a not jerk. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't use that for your stupid Halloween costumes. That's not what I'm saying.
God. Yeah.
But, you know, Black Pete is only one of the characters in it. So Santa, in a lot
right.
of these places, going across all these places, typically has 1 to 4 traveling companions.
Wow.
And, you know, so I chose 4, four companions of St. Nicholas to use in the story. Black Pete is
Old Man Whipper.
Old Man Whipper. Yeah. Is, and Bell Snickle and Black Pete.
Right.
And, Old Man Whipper is one of the variations.
Like the Beatles.
Is one of the variations of Krampus, you know, so. You know, Krampus is a big demon with a wicker basket and a and a stick. You know, some places have multiple Krampuses. I mean, all the way over to Russia, they have Baba Yaga flying around in a basket using a broom as a steering rudder to huck kids in. There's a lot of variations of them. Old Man Whipper is just one of them. And I just liked him because he just had a long sticking out tongue. And, I felt if I went with Krampus, that was probably a little much coming out of the gate.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't know there were any of these characters in the first place. I've heard of Krampus, sure.
Right.
Never heard of any of these other guys.
Oh, really?
Is this like a common... How widespread was this idea of Santa with, like, this entourage? Was this just a German thing? Was this all over
Europe?
Throughout
all the Scandinavian alpine countries. Yeah. It gets weird in some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It gets really weird in some of them. Like my Belsnickel. Belsnickel more common. So have you ever seen, like, pictures of Santa Claus, and there's Santa in all his gold robes and red, right?
Sure.
And next to him is another bearded old man in like just a drab robe.
I haven't actually seen that, but you said it with a lot of confidence.
Okay. So there, that's one of them. There tends to be the royalty Santa, the sort of humble peasant Santa that's his servant, you know, mm-hmm. and then the baddie that comes along, for the bad kids, and then the watcher. So here we have Black Pete watching, and then Belsnickel sort of decides. Now, Belsnickel and Old Man Whipper, so Belsnickel, okay, there's a lot here. So Belsnickel more commonly is displayed as like a mountain man with a beard covered in furs and stuff like that. And he, in my story and in several of them, makes the choosing. He's sort of the naughty nice list tracker.
Sure.
Right. In some stories, he's also the bad guy. He's also, right. He's also the Krampus figure. Cause remember, we're dealing with anywhere from two to four. So it can be spread out.
Right.
But in some cultures, Belsnickel is dressed as a woman for some reason.
Okay. But so, he is a guy who is dressed as a woman.
Yeah.
So Belsnickel's just in drag. Good for her.
Right. So I went with that one. So I he's a
you gotta
right. Yeah. He's a I imagine him as being a solid black demon like Black Pete, but sure. Wearing the gold dress from Belle at Beauty and the Beast. You know, this is what I imagine him. And so Black Pete basically reports to Belsnickel, again, a real character who comes through and picks. And there's several ways that Belsnickel would pick. And one is, you know, he's got a switch and he would tap on the windows of the bad kids. You know, all of this comes from something.
What does that do?
You know, all of this comes from something. You know, it's some like drunk ass jerk of a dad who started this. He went outside his kids' windows and tapped on there and thought it was real funny and traumatized his whole family, which spread for generations.
I believe that.
Where was I?
Okay, Belsnickel.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways. One is like the good kids would get a bundle of sticks painted gold, and the bad kids would get like a single stick painted silver.
Okay. Silver's
so you knew you
good.
Were bad at that point. And you knew that Old Man Whipper might be coming for you.
Now, was Old Man Whipper called that because he, like, whipped bad kids?
Yeah.
Or was that just his name? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, he whipped him with a stick.
So that's more like a title. Like, his name was probably just John or something.
He has a name, and it's French, and I don't think I can pronounce
it. That's valid, frankly.
Knight... It stands for knight something, but again, all of these characters cross over drastically from place to place. Like, so what I'm calling the scribblers in there, those are another one. So my dad's boyfriend growing up was from Germany, and I asked him, hey, did you guys have Krampus where you guys are from? Mm-hmm. And he said, no, we have like a lot of little Krampuses. So in his town, they would dress up all in black, the little kids, and they would run through the town sort of teasing, the adults. And they were all in blackface. And he said that it was soot, supposed to be soot, but, you know, was it though? You know, was it? So there's a lot of this going on in these mountain towns, and it's, you know, to bring it back around to blackface, I guess. But there is a lot of this going on in these mountain towns. But there's also a lot of people pushing back, trying to get rid of it in a lot of these cases.
Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1665 Pine Street is having a moving sale with everything 10 to 50% off. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage is open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and features collectible glassware, jewelry, sports memorabilia, Tiffany lamps, antique desks and dressers, dolls and toys, clothing and hats, along with hand-carved traditional maps. They also carry duck calls and decoys, fishing gear, and much more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage moving sale going on now with everything 10 to 50% off at 1665 Pine Street in downtown Reading.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 14.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's Bitcoin 530.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for victory. 1971 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Daughter, and she's like a beautiful hot chick and all. And I say specifically beautiful hot chick because that's how she's portrayed, sure, as like the snow beauty. And she has all blue robes and furs as well.
So in this Christmas cosmology of the, you know, northern latitudes, do we still have elves, Rudolph, et cetera, et cetera? Is that
no.
purely American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All
and
of Sam, that.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, all of that really started, really didn't kick off hardcore until the 1940s, 50s.
Huh.
So, I mean, while they do stem from things prior a lot of the time, you know, this whole commercialization of Christmas with jolly old Saint Nick and the elves and Rudolph and all this stuff, you know, this was not a thing prior to the 40s.
Yeah. Well, you know,
I mean, it was a broad collection of things, but. Sorry,
I think, you know, society and secularism and the war on Christmas has really just brought us just further and further every year away from the true meaning of the holiday, which is Belsnickel, Old Man Whipper, and, you know, Black Pete, who are always watching you and might hurt you. Misbehaving child.
Yeah, this is going to be controversial too, but it's as much a reason for the season as Jesus, if not more so.
Yeah.
You know,
so. Well, I feel like it depends on where you live. Cause like.
It does. Yeah.
You know, I think if you live in those places, sure. If you live in the United States, well, I don't know. Did those legends ever get transferred to here, or were they pretty much left behind in Europe?
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, it absolutely came here. Am I losing connection? I just got a warning that my internet was unstable.
Yeah, you froze for a second there.
Well, it's snowing here.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it happened like you would expect it to happen. That, you know, as people immigrated here, they all happened, but you know, the nature of the United States has always been a little more melty potty.
Sure.
And that's how we ended up with these sort of collections of our own American history that's now spread out to the rest of the world of what Christmas is. So yeah, we definitely had them in Wisconsin and Michigan,
right,
Pennsylvania, you know, all through
places that were sort of heavily populated, yeah, by immigrants from,
right,
Germany.
From Europe, right, European, yeah, immigrants. And, you know, this is by no means just an Alpine thing. You know, Black Pete is celebrated in France.
Really? Okay. So
yeah,
it's also
it's
in Western Europe.
White Pete, or I don't know how to say black in French, but Z-W-I-E-T-Z.
I've heard that before. I think it is like Zwart or,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. You know, you just brought up the term cancel culture. And
Wait, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did. I was joking, but go ahead.
but no, I think it does fit. And, you know, I think, you know, the world is like, oh, these lefties are crazy or these righties are crazy, you know. But at least the person on the who thinks a little more left, when people are crazy in this cancel culture world, unfortunately, it is built off of like a 10% mark where they're absolutely right. You know, so it becomes difficult. It becomes difficult when people say, oh, well, you need to get rid of this, that, and the other thing. And you know, and I think, oh, well, we do need to do something about those things. But then other people are just all, burn them to the ground. And like, people are just all like, no, 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 that's not what we're all saying. What we're
right.
saying is, you know, and, you know, I want to make sure that history is not forgotten. It doesn't have to,
sure,
be the situation, you know. Traditions can change,
but
you know, you can't burn history to the ground. You know, there has to be a place for it. And go ahead and change those histories. Change them all you want. Come up with new traditions. I mean, look at your own family now. I mean, my family right now has entirely new traditions. And while we look at the old traditions, we go, "That's the way it was," but that's not the way it is now. Because we're not going,
yeah,
to do those things. And I'm not even talking on a race level. I'm talking on a pure microcosm of a family.
Yeah.
You know, traditions change as you go. So, you know, but,
well, like you just said, a lot of our beloved Christmas traditions in the last few generations are not that old.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, you know, at least we're getting rid of them for good reasons now. I'll throw this.
Yeah.
At least getting rid of them for racism. That's good. You know, because for decades we were getting rid of them for religious reasons, and that's not, you know, so. I don't know. How do you think the world should address these things?
I mean, I think it's basically what you said, but I think in general, the thing to do is like listen to the people who are specifically saying, hey, this is offensive for X, Y, and Z reasons, and, you know, evaluate those arguments from there. And I think a lot of times, you know, I think it's generally obvious why, like, blackface is not okay, even if you're like, oh, I didn't mean it in a racist way.
Right.
like I did. Well, people are like that. People are like, well, it's not blackface, it's Black Pete is a demon. And it's like, okay, but it's, it still looks like blackface. And, you know, I think generally given the 500, 600 year history of just extreme racism and brutal atrocities perpetuated all across the entire planet by white people, like the least we can do now, the absolute least is just like, don't fight tooth and nail for like stupid stuff that doesn't matter, you know?
Right. That doesn't exist. You
know? Right. You know, yeah.
We all collectively, okay. So a lot of people have a lot of religions and I appreciate that. That's a different conversation. Here we're talking about magical fake beings at Christmas that do not exist.
Right. So if someone has a problem with Black Pete, like, because it looks like minstrelsy, it's like, yeah, okay, fair.
All right. New introducing Purple Pete.
Right, he's purple now.
Change it. It's all made up. None of it's real.
He's a huge evil grape.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think, I don't know, like, I think with a lot of the problematic part, right, is the blackface. So I just don't do that. You know, it's not that hard. Like, I would argue, in general, from my own life experience, that it's easier to not do blackface than it is to do blackface.
Yeah.
You don't have to apply all the makeup and stuff. I think I don't do blackface every day. Every day of my life.
I really don't do it solely because it's easier. You know, if they came up with a way that I could just, like, wake up and be okay, you know, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll quote you on that during your 2028 presidential bid.
Have you ever seen
that segment is going to be played 24/7.
Have you ever seen that show Big Mouth? No. It's like a cartoon about kids coming of age on Netflix. No. Well, there's
get your references, Chauncey. I'm sorry.
Well, there's a scene in it where the dad's just all like, racism is wrong unless we do. Unless we've done it for a long time, at which point it becomes tradition.
Right. <You know>? Yeah.
Right. Like, and I feel like that's kind of this situation that people don't have enough foresight to see how drastically traditions have changed over the years, even in their own lifetimes. So keep changing. Keep changing it.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of this is, too, is just people in general are very unaware of, like, history. And, you know, the stuff that we get taught about, like, racism, just speaking in the United States here, not even in Europe, where I don't really even know what it's like, it's, like, we learn about slavery, and we learn about Jim Crow, and we learn that there was Martin Luther King, and everything's better now. Right.
Yeah, I didn't even learn about Jim Crow, really.
Right. So it's like, and if it's like those things are the absolute like tip of the iceberg, you know, they don't teach a lot of stuff, which I would argue is really like crucial for Americans to learn about like COINTELPRO or like in the 50s or like the history of sort of how indentured servitude became slavery, like the roots of racist ideology or like stuff about colonial, like we talk about colonialism, but it's all in a very sort of sterile, like, you know, the Europeans didn't know any better and they killed off all the people in this country or that country, like practically, like they arrived. It's always said the Europeans arrived in this place, right. Not like they attacked this place.
Now with a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slade, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR1460.com.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Matt. I'm your host of Liberty Unabashed, a new show on Sundays, 8 to 9. We're going to have some good music, some deep thought, and I hope you check us out.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You know, if you want the history of how you got to stand in the world that you're currently standing in, the innovation coming in, and so, because some of that's true, you know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of smelting of iron and stuff like that going on, and
that's true.
You know, it comes in, and that's a part of the history, but you know, what you're saying is I totally agree with. And I would wrap it up in, if you take a U.S. history class and you don't learn U.S. history,
right?
You probably need to take another class. You know, how can you teach kids U.S. history without teaching them all of that?
That's my
issue. I keep hearing these arguments on the radio, and they're just, oh, they're teaching our kids this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, well, if that's true, don't teach them just that, because that, too, is only half of the story, you know?
Right.
you got to teach them the whole story and leave out all the damn adjectives. This is, again, my problem. We've talked about this before with the news. You know, part of the problem and part of the reason why people get upset when history is taught is the biases of historians.
Sure.
And you put in a lot more adjectives when you got an angle.
Yeah. So you're saying you want like the simple Wikipedia version of history, you know, lots of information, but taught using, you know, the 100 most common words in English.
The what?
The 100 most common words in English.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
okay. If you're not going to have another class, show me another class where kids are learning more than the 100 most commonly used words in English, and I'll expand that to that 1,000. But I mean, if we don't have a class that's teaching them more than 100 words, no, absolutely not. Don't word it in any. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of this is like the way we do it now is kind of like you get sort of the hero worshipy, you know, you get the version that is not too upsetting to either kids or parents up until like high school. And then you go to college and you get the version that is understood by like all historians, basically.
Right.
And that version is immensely distressing. So it's like people go to college and, you know, they immediately are like, my country did what? Like, you know, it's actually quite, I don't know, not everyone who goes to college even like takes humanities classes, but sometimes it can be like, you know, you take these classes and it's like, hold on, the CIA did what thing? Like,
oh yeah.
So it's, you know, maybe a gentler angle of entry where we just like don't lie to our kids for, you know, 14 years or whatever, and then send them to college and be like, hey, none of that was like true. It's this now. It was like, okay.
Right.
That was not eloquently put, but what I'm saying is, you know, we should maybe get some of these viewpoints in there earlier, but.
Well, I'm guessing I've probably told you this before, but bringing this around full circle, I had this issue with my daughter Harley when she was born. Both my wife and my kid's mom, you know, so Harley's like 3 or something at that point. I'm talking to both of them and I'm just, well, you know, I don't want to lie to Harley and tell her there's a Santa. I feel a little weird about you know, lying to my kid about magical beings. And they're both all like, oh, you're being stupid, whatever. Just let her have her fun and blah, blah, blah. So I lose. You know, I got the kid mom, I got the wife, I lose.
Sure.
And like, you know, years later, Harley's like too old to believe in Santa, but she totally believes in Santa. And I'm telling the two of them, I'm just
like,
we need to tell her.
We have to stop this.
Right. And they're just all right, go ahead and tell her.
She's going to be taking physics classes and she can't think that a reindeer can travel around the world in one night.
Right, right. Yeah. She's like 9 or something. She's like getting too old to not have.
Yeah, that's too old.
And so it gets tasked to me to break this lie to my daughter that I was forced into keeping, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I love a movie called Chasing Amy. I love movies. And so I
just, how do you like movies?
I draw a picture. Oh no, I straight up tell her. So I don't mess with her first. I straight up tell her. I'm just all, Santa's not real. We were just telling you that it's all coming from us and we love you. And she's all, oh, okay, okay. And she's just all like,
and watch and a little Easter bit Bunny. Of magic die inside her heart.
Yeah, no, she dealt with it perfectly.
No, she's okay.
And the Easter Bunny? And I'm all, yeah, no, also not real. Tooth Fairy? No. the gnomes. Okay, they had a thing at their school with gnomes. That's a whole nother story. Gnomes aren't real now.
Yeah.
And so I think she gets it. We're all good. We just had the conversation, and she's totally fine with it. I'm all right. Well, I guess she already knew.
Uh-oh.
And so
you can't half-ass the deprogramming.
I can't just leave well enough alone.
Oh.
So from this movie, Chasing Amy, I'm joking with her, and I draw a picture of a dollar in the middle of the thing. And I draw a picture of a snail, and then I draw Santa Claus, and then I draw the Easter Bunny, and then I draw the Tooth Fairy. And I put it down, and I say, which one will get the dollar first? And she's all, well, the Easter Bunny, because it's a bunny. And I'm all, nope. And she's all, Tooth Fairy, because it can fly. And I'm all, no. She's all, Santa. And I'm all, no, the snail will get it first. And she's all, what? And I'm just all, well, the other three are figments of your imagination.
Oh, God.
And she looks at me and she's all, you're lying! And she just screams and starts crying and runs up to her room. And
oh, no.
My God, what have I done? And I finally just destroyed my daughter, who is way too old to believe in Santa.
Oh, God. You had it. You did it perfectly. And then you're like, I'm going to ram this nail in.
And she needed to marinate on it, but she wasn't ready.
Oh, that's hilarious, frankly.
God, I feel so bad about it. And she'll, oh, man.
In this metaphor, the dollar picture is learning about racism in your college history classes.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Honestly, yeah, that tracks.
I got a thing of Christmas cards 1 year, and so this war on Christmas. All right, I'm just not going to stop.
We're not going to end the show. We're just going to keep almost ending the show, and yeah.
So I came home the other day to my wife, and I'm just all, you know, for all the talk of the war on Christmas, I do not see a lot of it in my day-to-day activity. There seems to be a lot of Christmas going around. I got this thing of cards one year.
And the story's not over.
And one of the cards, there were three different types of cards in the box. One said, Merry Christmas.
Okay.
One said, Happy Holidays.
Okay.
For the people who don't do Christmas. They do other things. And one of them said, Winter Wishes. Mm. Which I thought was hilarious. Because it's totally just like, some crappy aunt, some crappy, fully just Jesus-loving aunt, my aunt, you know, sending me the winter wishes as this sort of like half love, half screw you sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, send the winter wishes card.
Oh, you don't celebrate it? Well, here's the winter wishes card. Yeah.
God, the winter wishes card.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, you can send the winter wishes card to your evangelical relatives and just imagine, you know, their blood pressure skyrocketing.
Good point. All right.
And, you know, it's a powerful weapon in the war on Christmas.
Yeah.
A devastating new device is being employed on the front line.
That just takes holidays
the winter
out of
wishes card.
Enjoy the cold.
Oh, God.
All right.
Yeah.
You've been listening to
The Wishes for Firewood.
All right. This is happening. You've been listening to Radio Wasteland. And what do we have to say to our audience, Kara?
Winter wishes. Happy holidays. Winter wishes. Okay.
Wishes.
Okay. Thank you.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Auto Body. The auto repair industry is ever-changing, just like the automobile. Collision repair on today's vehicles requires an extensive investment in diagnostic equipment and training. The ability to scan the safety and electronic control systems after a collision is imperative. Coachmaster has made these investments. We have the technology. You can be assured that after a Coachmaster repair, your vehicle will be back to pre-loss condition. Upon delivery, your vehicle will be washed, vacuumed, and disinfected.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
With the coming of the holiday season, we would like to thank all of our customers, old and new, for trusting Coachmaster to take care of all of your collision repair needs. Our team would like to wish the community Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And Santa, we don't repair sleighs, so be careful. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. The news from